Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. We are talking, of course, all things Spain and all things Germany this week. Of course, the Champions League semi-final, second legs taking place. Real Madrid against Dortmund, Barca against Bayern on Spanish soil. Will there be a big turnaround? I can't see it happening, except for maybe Los Blancos getting a 3-0 win. But a man who's going to give us the German point of view is our German football expert, none other than Mr. Kit Holden, joining us here on World Football Daily. Kit, how are you feeling heading into the week, mate?
Cautiously optimistic, but definitely cautiously, I think. After last week, obviously, there was quite a lot of jubilation in the German press and a lot of excitement that, you know, two very, very unprecedented results and fantastic performances. But I don't know, I get the feeling, maybe I'm just the hopeless pessimist, but I get the feeling that they've celebrated a little bit too early. Maybe not the teams, but the media a little bit. There's been an advert on German Sky where a sort of depressed bullfighter is walking around his ring with a Dortmund and a Bayern flag stuck up his behind. And you know, it's a lot of this going on, which is, you know, perhaps just a little bit premature. So I'm like, yeah, I can't see a massive turnaround if I look at it objectively. But yeah, my inner fan, as it were, my inner supporter of German sides remains just a little bit cautious.
Hopefully just not getting yourself too excited then for a big fall coming up in this midweek, Kit. But you talk about maybe getting too eager, too confident, the Germans, and at least in the media. We've seen it happen before in terms of last summer. There was almost an expectancy that Germany would get past Italy in the European Championship semi-final. And we've seen them blow that big 4-0 lead in the national team again against Sweden in a big World Cup qualifier. There's a habit of maybe not rising to the occasion when everything seems like it's in the bag?
Yeah, not to mention, obviously, Bayern in last year's final. I mean, just everyone assumed they were going to win it. They're in their own stadium, and the celebration had almost already started before the game had kicked off. And it was, again, earlier in this season against Arsenal, when, you know, they were 3-1 up from the first leg, and they went into that second leg knowing they were the better team, and everyone expected them to go through, and they came horrendously close to being knocked out by a poor team. So, in terms of Champions League football, anyway. So it's a problem which has sort of plagued German football a little bit, if you like, over the last year. But I think actually, from the players' point of view, those kind of things will inspire them a bit more, because I think a lot of these players obviously have played in the national team and have seen those kind of expectations ruined, and a lot of them will have played in last year's final. And I think that they're more cautious, certainly the Bayern players particularly, of that kind of unexpected fall from grace after being on top and after having so much expectation. So I don't expect the teams to go in with that much arrogance or that much complacency, because I think as well there's still a lot of respect even after last week for Barca and Real. But I don't know, the media, yeah, there's perhaps just a little bit too much excitement just yet.
If you can see one of these being turned around, which fixture could you possibly see it as? I mean, the logical man would arguably say that it's the Madrid one, because they only need to win 3-0 at home, whereas Barca need to score 4.
Yeah, and I think the gulf between Madrid and Dortmund is perhaps smaller than the gulf between Bayern and Dortmund on the basis of last week's results. But I don't know, because I mean, if you look at the reactions after the games last week, Bayern were very, very quick to play down any kind of premature excitement. You know, they're immediately saying, we've got a huge game ahead of us next week. We haven't done it yet. It's a great result. We haven't done it yet. There's no win yet. I think that's a result of what's happened last year. Dortmund, on the other hand, Jurgen Klopp wasn't, I mean, he said, you know, we're not through, and we haven't finished, it's only half time, etc. But he was a little bit more pleased himself, a little bit more kind of eager to express his happiness than perhaps Jupp Heynckes was. That's partly their characters. I think it's partly that Dortmund have got less pressure in that they've got one away goal against them and they've already overachieved in this tournament, whereas Bayern are expected to win it or at least reach the final. But I don't know. I think Dortmund have got less pressure on them. And if with Bayern, there's a lot of stuff going on at Bayern at the moment. The Hoeneß tax scandal and the Götze transfer and the potential Lewandowski transfer. So I think if any team is going to be sort of psychologically weakened by what's going on, it's going to be Bayern. But in terms of results, yeah, obviously Bayern a better place than Dortmund. And, yeah, like I say, objectively, you can't see it happening, but I have to touch wood every time I say that.
You mentioned the Götze transfer. Just quickly going back to last week, there was a couple of shots that I've seen of Götze shirts with Judas written on the back of them in the crowd in Dortmund, and a burning Götze shirt just outside the ground as well. Is it really that bad? Do they feel betrayed by Mario Götze for this move to Bayern, especially with the timing of the, its release coming out just before the games last week?
Well, I think actually the media aftermath was relatively tame in comparison to what we were expecting. I mean, you know, during the game there were a few kind of isolated incidents, a few shouts of Judas, etc. But there was nowhere near the kind of antipathy towards him that perhaps people were expecting. And I think the Dortmund fans got behind their side, and that was part of the reason for the result. So I think it's actually been a lot less than people perhaps had in mind when it first came out. But that might change, because there's, with the timing of it, obviously was the worst bit about it, because it came out just before the Champions League semi-final and before the end of the season. And the general kind of received wisdom on that was that someone at Bayern had leaked it in order to deflect attention from the Hoeneß story. Mm. But that's kind of changed in the last week or so. People aren't so sure about that. There's talk that it might actually have come out from the Dortmund side, or, you know, that it come out from someone related. So particularly if it's come out from the Dortmund side, that could cause a lot more, maybe not directed solely at Götze, but a lot more kind of disappointment and anger on that from Dortmund fans. But I think generally, yeah, it's been less than people expected in terms of, hating Götze, if you like.
Are we going to see Lewandowski announce a transfer tomorrow? I mean, it certainly didn't put off Dortmund last week and put in a fantastic performance against Madrid at home. Will we see this kind of news about Lewandowski come out before the end of the season, do you think, Kit?
I think if Dortmund were to get knocked out by Real, then I think wherever he's going, they'd probably come out before the end of the season. If they get to the final, I think everyone will do, particularly if he's going to Bayern, everyone will do their very, very best to keep it under wraps until after the final and after the season's ended and all things are tied up. But I think, yeah, if one of them gets knocked out, particularly if Dortmund gets knocked out this week, then maybe, yeah, we might see it a bit earlier.
Are we looking at, there's been this talk of the changing in the powerhouse of European football, and we were talking about it with Graham Hunter earlier, and he said that maybe this isn't a change in the powerhouse of European football, but we are just getting ready for an era of dominance of Bayern Munich as opposed to German football in general. What do you say about Dortmund and how they're going to recover from what looks like losing Lewandowski and, of course, losing Götze? How do they go about continuing to be this as strong as they are at the moment?
Well, firstly on Bayern, I think the reaction from A, the Götze transfer, and B, the win against Barca has been completely overplayed, because there's this whole talk of Bayern now having overtaken Barca and being by far the world's best team, and they're going to dominate Europe, they're going to completely dominate Germany, the Bundesliga is going to be a dead competition. And it's very, very exaggerated as far as I'm concerned, because yes, Bayern are spending a lot of money on Dortmund's players and on big Bundesliga stars, but Bayern have always done that. And teams like Dortmund have always come up from having nothing to challenge them. That's the beauty of the Bundesliga. That's why people go on about how it's such an even league and all the rest of it. It's not like Bayern have never done this before or never, you know, haven't dominated before. That's always their status quo. Okay, this transfer is slightly different in that usually Bayern don't spend this much money on a player from another German club, but I think, you know, generally this isn't a huge change we're seeing in the dynamics of the Bundesliga, certainly. We're just seeing Bayern reasserting their strength after a few years having been playing second fiddle, if you like, which is what they do generally on a kind of five-year cycle. And I think the financial rules in the Bundesliga will still mean that Dortmund will be able to rebuild. We might see Dortmund do another cycle up in a few years' time to challenge Bayern again. Yeah, I think, you know, Bayern are probably going to be the dominant team for one or maybe 2 years now. As for Europe, I think it's just, so however convincing it was, does not mean that you've overtaken Barcelona, who have just been probably the best team in the world for the last, and the best team for them. And yeah, it could be a turning point. But I think generally what we're seeing in Europe is actually not a shift to Germany, if you like, but actually more of a levelling out of the playing field. You know, the fact is that big money clubs in England and Spain now don't have the power that they did over the German side, the big German sides, maybe 5 years ago. And the German side having risen doesn't mean that the power is suddenly with Germany. It just means that there's a more even playing field, and that, you know, you never know who's going to win the Champions League, and that's a good thing for European football.
And we love watching the Champions League. It's something that makes the Champions League arguably the greatest club competition in the world. The fact that we have no idea, despite all the big money spending, what can happen throughout the year. And of course, proof of that being Bartek Borisov and that win that they got over Bayern Munich in the group stages. And you mentioned earlier on the loss to Arsenal in the second leg that came very close to actually knocking Munich out. Have those two incidents really helped to just ground this Bayern side throughout this process of being put on this European football pedestal?
Yeah, I think so. Particularly the Arsenal incident, because obviously they've been largely unchallenged or completely unchallenged in the Bundesliga this year and in the Pokal as well. And, you know, to a great extent, it's been the same in the Champions League. And I think that Arsenal result did just rein them in a bit and just let them kind of check themselves and say, actually, you know, we haven't made it yet. We haven't won a European trophy yet. And because, I mean, none of these players have actually won an international trophy. That's the big excitement over the all German final. And so, it gave them a reality check, and it kind of reminded them that nothing's in Tottenham Tüten, as they say in German, in dry towels yet. And nothing's certain. So, yeah, it's grounded them. I think we saw that against Juventus when they got a good result in both legs and played very, very professionally and very, very clinically. And again, as we say, against Barca. So, yeah, I think that Arsenal result was a huge turning point in Bayern's season.
I'm going to move away from the dry towels comment and not make a joke about being on holiday in the towels out on the sun loungers. And we'll take a look at stuff going on the field at the moment. Over the weekend, Bayern and Dortmund both rested a number of players, still managed to get the wins. How do they both approach these games, though, midweek? Do they act a little more defensively than they maybe would were it a slightly more level-headed fixture going into the second legs?
No, I think they don't. I think that's the real kind of value of the strong leads that they've built up, is that they don't need to do that at all. If they'd won by one goal or two goals, then there might be a bit of a dilemma as to whether they should sit back or whether they should, you know, play their normal game. Whereas I think that with the strong leads they've got, the 3 or 4 goal leads, they'll be able to play their game. And then if they do concede, then they can adapt their tactics accordingly within the game. But I think from the outset, both sides will go about both games in the way that they normally would. And obviously in a away game, you don't play perhaps with the same kind of vigour or sort of brashness that you might in a home game. But, you know, you're perhaps a little more cautious. But generally, I think both these teams are attacking sides and they're not going to change their philosophy for the second leg.
How important has Jürgen Klopp been on this Dortmund side? I mean, we can talk about Lewandowski and Götze and Royce and the players that do it on the pitch, but when you see Klopp on the sideline, you know, he looks like that kind of nerdy, scruffy character. He described himself as a nerd, and but he does seem to kind of want to be playing every ball with them. He has so much passion, and we've seen in the Malaga victories and the victory last week against Madrid that he is just truly 100% Dortmund through and through at this point. How big is his influence on just keeping this side at the level that they've been over the last 3 years or so?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, this is the thing people forget about Dortmund, that this is, you know, his side. This is the side that he has built up, that has come up with him, and that he has developed and has actually developed at the same time as him. Because let's not forget that he's a very young coach, and he's still, you know, hugely inexperienced in comparison to some of the coaches on the international scene. He's developing alongside them, and I think that's why there's always this kind of tangible excitement in him when things like, you know, the late winner at Malaga or whatever it is happen, and, you know, that he's living it for the first time as well as they are. After Lewandowski scored 4 against Real, he joked at the press conference that he'd scored 4 before at Erfurt, and no one gave him the same kind of plaudit. And that's, you know, and I think as well, he allows him to ground himself a little bit. Like I said before, there's less pressure because they're overachieving so much. They can relax a bit more, they can make jokes, and they can know that even if they get knocked out, they'll still have done something remarkable. And that I think just allows them. And yet, having said that, they're still fighting, and there's still a belief that they can beat anyone and win anything. And Klopp does that. He's just a very, very fearless manager, a very, very engaged manager. And as I say, yeah, he develops along with them, and there's such a kind of unity. I mean, when the Götze story broke, you could see how upset Klopp was personally, not just as Dortmund coach, but actually personally, that a player that he'd kind of nurtured and brought into the limelight was now leaving him. He was dealt with it very, very well, but And it's there's definitely a very, very strong bond between that set of players and their manager.
What about then his stock as a manager? We talk about the players potentially leaving Dortmund and this Dortmund side could be broken up even more. But what about Klopp leaving? Is that likely this summer? Because, as you say, a young manager, but he's performed wonders with this Dortmund side. Will he look to move on and will people want to bring him in?
I think if a very, very good offer pops up, something like Real Madrid, then he might well consider it. But I don't... If I had to bet on it, I'd say he wouldn't. I'd say he's sticking around because I think this is a turning point for the whole Dortmund project over the last 6 or 7 years in that they've had now, you know, with Sahin obviously is back, but he went and he's not the same player now. Lewandowski and Götze are to go. If Hummels, there's talk of Hummels going to Barca. So a lot of those players that they've built the team around going. And I think in some ways he'll be keen to re-establish what he's made at Dortmund over the next few years again. So I'd say he'll probably stay. Also, there's a sense, you know, I mean, he's very kind of loved by the German press because obviously he gives fantastic press conferences and he's comfortable in that environment. And as I say, he is quite inexperienced still, so he might want to have a few more years in a more comfortable environment with a new challenge, obviously, with rebuilding this Dortmund team before he goes and looks to go elsewhere. But I think, maybe if the right offer comes along and it's a lot of money and it's a very prestigious club, then he might consider it.
The 4-0 lead kit for Bayern against Barca. What's the one thing that Bayern need to make sure that they do to stop Barca from having a chance to get back into this game, into this tie?
Well, they need to do exactly what they did last Tuesday and stop Messi from doing anything, which they did absolutely brilliantly. And every time ball came near him, Martinez, Schweinsteiger, Dante and Boateng just were on him in a flash and he was completely nullified and obviously he was slightly injured as well. But I think now he's, from what I read, he's sort of coming back. He had a good game against Bilbao, I think. So, they'll be very much looking to keep him out of the game and to nullify him in the same way they did last week. And I think if they can do that, then they should be fine. Particularly if they score. I think Bayern are capable of scoring in any ground. And I think if they get one, I can't see this Bayern side conceding six. But again, I'm touching wood because it's just, you never know, you never know.
Can you give us a score prediction for the two games then, Kit, before we get ready and set to sit down and enjoy them both this week?
I'm not sure about a score, but I'm going to say that both Barca and Real will win the games, but both Dortmund and Bayern will just about go through.
And I'm sure you'll be desperately trying to get yourself a ticket for Wembley. Actually, that's the point. Are you going to be lined up for Wembley to be going as a member of the press if that does happen?
There'll be a very, very small chance, but at the moment it's very, very small. So I'll be fighting my corner until the very last on that front. But if not, I'll definitely go down to London if it's an all-German final.
And if anybody gets their hands on a Champions League final ticket with both Bayern and Dortmund in it, then pass on your details to us and we'll pass it on to Kit, because I'm sure you'll be desperate to be there to watch it. Kit, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk all things Champions League football with you and talk about Bayern and Dortmund and their chances, of course, of making the Champions League final, which are very strong indeed after last week. And we hope you enjoy the game so you're not sat there too nervously with I'm imagining a glass of whiskey in your hand right there.
Probably Weissbier, but
well, enjoy the Weissbier, man, and enjoy the week, mate. And we'll catch up with you very soon indeed.
All right, thanks very much, mate.
Cheers, Kit. Thanks a lot. Kit Holden there joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things German football. And we're talking, of course, about Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League this week. And if you want to catch any more of our conversations with our great guests, such as Graham Hunter, who was on Monday's show, and anybody else who'll be joining us later on in the week to break down the action and build up the Europa League as well, get onto worldfootballdaily.com, become a premium member, and you can access all of that. We'll be back with the regular show, as usual, Monday to Friday, every single day. Until then, we'll catch you on the other side of the Champions League semi-final second legs.